You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
It is so good to have you join us on our Christmas Day service. Thank you for setting time aside to come and celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my name is Bin, if we haven't met yet. I'm one of the leaders and pastors at Sun Life Church here. So thank you. If this is your first time, I just want to say thank you for walking through the doors of Sun Life Church. And I pray that you can capture what we're trying to do here. We're remembering our Lord and Savior. Can I ask you this question here? Can anyone relate to this? You know, when you're in the zone, like when I'm in the zone and I'm focusing on completing a task, whether it is to prepare a Bunnings list, or I'm writing a message, or I'm trying to understand one of those movies from Christopher Nolan's Inception or Interstellar, I do not like interruption. Like, I am fixated on something, and if someone comes along and disturbs me, it really bothers me. You know, whether it is me trying to write a sermon and someone's coming into my office, or I'm about to head off to work and one of my kids are saying, "Daddy, you know, where's my sock? You know, how am I meant to know?" Or my lovely wife is asking, "Why is Matthew McConaughey's character hiding behind some bookcase? How do I know? It's so complex." But isn't it true? Isn't it true that for a lot of us here, we struggle, right, with interruption? And I think the reason why is that we like order. We like order. We like things to go to plan. We like to know what's around the corner. We want things to be certain. And ultimately, I think we all want to be in control. Yeah, we want to be in control. And you see, the Christmas narrative, the Christmas story, is God's greatest interruption to mankind. This is the time where for Christians, right, the birth of Jesus is the moment in history where God would break into our broken world with a purpose. And this greatest interruption all started with interrupting a little girl who was about to get married. And I'll show you this, what I mean, in the Word of God. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to these verses, or the verses are on the screen behind me. Now, look in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So right there, the Word of God is very clear. We've got this young girl, Mary. She's going to get married. She's engaged to Joseph. She's a virgin. She's excited for her big day. And God would send an angel to her. Now, let's continue on. Look in verse 28 of Luke chapter 1 and verse 30 and 31. The angel, that's Gabriel, went to her, her is Mary, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." So an angel says, "You're so highly favored. There's something special about you. The Lord is with you." Verse 30. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Talk about messing up your plan. Amen. She's about to get married. I think thinking about having a child is probably the last thing on her mind. I don't know if anyone is about to get married. You're probably thinking about planning the special day, booking a venue at the Swan Valley. I don't know, organizing all the dresses for the bridesmaid, discussing with Joseph, her fiance, you know, where shall we go on our honeymoon? You know, shall we spend a few days, maybe a few nights in Egypt, or spend a week in Bethany, or camp by the Sea of Galilee? I don't know. But God had other plans. God says, "You, Mary, you're highly favored, and you're going to give birth to a son, and you're going to name him Jesus." Now, poor Mary, put yourself in her shoes. She's most likely a teenager. She's thinking, how is that even possible? How am I going to give birth when I'm not even married yet, what am I going to tell my fiance, Joseph? Now that's one huge interruption to her plans. Would you agree? But now look at her response. This is Mary's response in the Word of God. Now look in verse 39, Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Wow. Such a huge responsibility upon a young girl, and she would trust in the Lord, and she says, "Let it be. Whatever, Lord, I'm going to trust you." And then we find out that Joseph, he discovers that she's pregnant. And Joseph wants to call off the marriage. Now, for those who understand or read the story here, Joseph would do this because it's part of the Jewish law. It's really to protect Mary. Now, look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. The Word of God says this, "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly." So Joseph was like, "I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to cancel our plans. There's a huge disruption. I'm going to quietly divorce Mary just to protect her, her dignity, her honor." But then Joseph is interrupted in a dream. Look in the very next verse in Matthew 1, verse 20. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" So now he is interrupted in his dreams. Now look at Joseph's response in verse 24. "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife." You see, another interruption. But yet Joseph says, "Well, I trust you, God. I will take her as my wife." There's more. Months later, God now interrupts some shepherds doing their thing, looking after their flock at night. Go back to the Bible, look in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 onwards. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Now look in verse 11. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah," that's the Christ, "the Lord." Now these shepherds here, the Bible's very clear, they're doing their thing. They were not expecting any visits from any angel that night. However, the Bible is clear that God interrupted their plans with the good news of great joy. And the angel would say, "A Savior has been born, and he is the Messiah, the Lord." Now these shepherds here, shocked by the interruption, look at what they said to one another. Go back to the text, Luke chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. "When the angels have left them," the "them" here are the shepherds, "and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger." Right there. Interruption, but yet the shepherd would say, "Okay, we'll leave everything aside and we'll head towards Bethlehem." But there's more. It's like a movie from Hollywood, right? There's more. Some distance away, news gets to King Herod that a baby boy is born, and this baby boy would one day be king and establish an everlasting kingdom. Now, King Herod, he's not happy with this news, and he's one jealous king. So he sends an order to find all the babies born in that region of Bethlehem to have them killed, because he's very insecure. Go back to the text, look in Matthew 2, verses 3 and 4. "When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born." Now obviously, Herod is looking for babies. baby boys in the region of Bethlehem to cure them. Now, Mary and Joseph did not know this. They did not know this until another interruption from God. Go back to the text. Look in verse 13. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." Poor Mary and Joseph, needing a bit of a break, right? In the middle of the night, they are told to leave, escape Bethlehem, and go to Egypt, not for a couple nights, not for a few years. The Bible is very clear. Until God says it's safe to head back. And so they are going, not knowing when they would return back to Bethlehem. Another interruption, but yet look at Joseph's response, the very next verse in verse 14. So he, that's Joseph, got up that night, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. You see that? One interruption after another, but yet look at how they all responded. They all trusted in God, no matter how inconvenient it was. Here's the thing that I believe that God still interrupts you and I today. I still believe that God interrupts us because He has something far better for us. Could it be that the interruption that maybe some of us are experiencing right now is an opportunity for us to surrender our control and say, "I'm going to trust God because I know that God has something far better for me"? Live long enough and you'll be interrupted in this life. For some of you right now, maybe you've been interrupted with not being accepted into that university course that you really want to study. Maybe it's an interruption in your health. There's a health crisis. Maybe you're not getting married when you really want to get married. Maybe you're interrupted because a friend keeps calling you on Saturday and inviting you to come to a church service. You know, you get that text message always on a Saturday, "Hey, come to church. I've got a seat waiting for you." And you're just being interrupted all the time. Maybe this morning, you being here is an interruption. It's out of your normal plan, but someone has got you here. Could it be? Could it just be that God is interrupting your plans because God has something far greater for you? Could that be the case? You know, many years ago, around 5 years ago, my wife and I, we were flying back from New York City, and we were about to get to the airport. And for those who've ever been to JFK, like just to get through custom, it's a test of patience. There are so many people, right? And the Americans, man, they take their time. They take their time. We finally get through customs, and now we're at the boarding gate, and it's 45 minutes before our plane would come, to leave. And we hear over the PA that there's a huge storm in New York City, and all the flights landing at JFK has been canceled. And it's like in the movie scenes. You look at the arrival, departure. It's like they're changing from cancel, cancel, cancel on the screen. And all the flights that were about to fly to JFK, New York City, have been now diverted to Boston or Philadelphia. And so we get told it's an 8-hour delay. 8 hours. Now, 8 hours is not long enough for you to go out of the airport and check into a hotel and come back the next day. 8 hours means that you've got to wait at the airport. And I tell you right now, God was testing my patience. God was testing my tongues and all my colorful languages. And I was like, 8 hours, what a waste of time. We are missing our children. Tran and I, Matilda was very, very young. We want to head back home. My wife is trying to hold in her tears. I'm trying to be brave. We're at the airport. And eventually, after 8 hours, we board the plane to fly to Los Angeles. Because from LA, we have to take a very long flight to Brisbane, and from Brisbane back to Perth. So we're in LA now, and we're about to board our flight to fly back to Australia, Aussie soil. And as we're walking towards the plane, an airport staff, I kid you not, he interrupts us and he pulls me aside. And I'm about to lose it. Like, I kid you not. I'm just thinking, this is my worst nightmare. I want to hop on the plane. I just want to go back to Australia. I don't like America. I don't like it. And he grabs my boarding pass. He grabs all my boarding pass. And I'm going, what's going on now? Am I going to be detained here or something? And he gives us these new boarding passes. And I kid you not, I don't know who this person is. I don't know how this happened. I don't know whether this was actually an angel of the Lord. I don't know, it was Gabriel. I don't know. He gives us new boarding passes. And we've realized we've been upgraded. Oh, yeah. You watch this. We get premium economy. Come on. Premium economy. Look. I'm a pastor. Premium economy for me is like winning jackpot, right? I'm flying premium economy from LA to Brisbane. And then I check my second leg from Brisbane back to Perth, business class. I know. Like, to this day, I don't know what happened. I don't know whether it's one of you guys blessed us. I don't know if it was. Just keep doing that. I'm flying out soon. Keep doing that. And I realize this. That I think God's plans is a bit like that. Sometimes it's not always what you want it to be or what you expect, but it's always much better. He interrupts us because he's got something better for us. And maybe that distraction, you don't like it, but he's got something around the corner. You know, Paul Tripp, I quote him, he says this, God will interrupt your journey, devastate your dreams, who plunder your plans all because he knows that what he wants for you is better. Like Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds on that first Christmas, the interruption of God had a beautiful plan to bring restoration to a broken humanity. God had a plan to save you and me when he interrupted Mary, Joseph, even Herod, the Magi, the shepherd, because the plan was a beautiful plan to bring restoration and salvation for you and me. The Apostle Paul, he puts it like this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. When the timing was right, when it was perfect, God interrupted the world. He came into the world with the purpose of redeeming and adopting us into his family. That's why we're here today. We're here today because we are grateful that God would interrupt this world. Christmas is a reminder that God himself came for us. And Christmas, listen carefully, is not an end in itself. It's not an end to itself. Christmas points to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that he would restore what is broken to himself. That's why we can never separate the manger and the cross. As Christians, we can never separate Christmas and Easter because Christmas finds its fulfillment in Easter. He came with a plan to save you and me. Tim Keller, beautifully, he puts it like this. The birth of Jesus is the beginning of the story, but the resurrection is the climax. Christmas is the introduction. Easter is the conclusion. God interrupted our world with the purpose of saving us because we cannot save ourselves. You know that, right? Christmas is a reminder that we can do nothing to get to heaven or get to God on our own. So God had to come for us. That's why we celebrate this day. If he never came, we'll be in trouble. Imagine you or your loved one trapped in a burning building, and the flames are getting stronger and stronger and closer and closer, and you realize that you are trapped and there's nowhere to run. There's no way out. And you are cornered, and in a matter of time now, you're going to burn to death alive. And in your desperation, you cry out, help, help. And unfortunately, it seems like no one is hearing your cry of help. And just when you think it's over, just when you realize that, well, I can't save myself now, that's it, I've given up hope now, you hear footsteps coming up the staircase, and it's a firefighter, and he's fully dressed up in his fighting gear with this look of determination in his face. He bursts into the room and he grabs you and he picks you up and he places you on his shoulder and he runs out and places you to safety in this burning building. You see, the Christian faith speaks of that. God came. He interrupted humanity with the purpose of saving us. We're in deep trouble, friends. If you don't know Jesus, I'm sorry to say this, you're in deep trouble. But the good news is this, that He came that first Christmas. He interrupted humanity with a good purpose, the good news of saving you and saving me through His death and resurrection on the cross some 2,000 years ago. He did it because He loves us. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans 5:8. And by God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that's why we celebrate Christmas Day. Not because we get presents. Not because we get to eat and eat. No. We celebrate this day because God came for those who are hopeless, those who are broken, those who cannot save themselves. He came to offer the good news of salvation. And we call that the gospel. We call that the good news. It's good news because something good happened. It's good news because God came into our world. It's good news because God made the decision to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. It's good news because God came for us. He came to save us from our sins. That's why it's good news. Friends, here's the thing, that we all fall short from God's glory. Every one of us here. We miss the mark of God's glory and we all need God to do something. And He came that first Christmas to save you and me. N.T. Wright, great English theologian, he says this, the gospel is not a message about how to get to heaven, but a message about how God has come to us in Jesus Christ. It's good news. He interrupted this world. He came for you and for me. So I ask you, friends, I ask you this morning, have you been interrupted by God lately? Is God doing something in your space? Maybe God is reminding you of the good news, that He has something better. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to stop trying to be in control and let go and let Him take control and let Him be your Lord. Let Him be your master, your ruler, and ultimately your Savior. That's the good news. That's why He came that first Christmas. And that's why for those who've placed their trust in Jesus, we're here to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. Lord, because He's master. He's in control of everything. Savior, because we need saving. We cannot save ourselves. He came to save us. That's why that famous, famous Bible verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He wants to offer you a relationship with Him. He wants to give you life. He wants you to know Him, experience Him. And here's the good news. He's here today. And He welcomes you into that fellowship table today. He welcomes you today. And so I ask you, friends, is God interrupting you lately? Maybe for some of us here, you know Jesus, but you've struggled in your relationship with Him. And you've come here because it's Christmas and you felt that it's the right thing to do. And I'm glad that you're here because I believe that God loves you and God is not far from you. And He wants to reconnect with you And he wants you to just trust him again. He's interrupting you because he loves you. And maybe for some, you're hearing this for the first time. Is there a God who loves me? Yeah. Is there a God who would accept me and welcome me? Yeah. Is there a God who came for me? Absolutely. That's why it's the good news. That's why it's the gospel. He came to save us because we cannot save ourselves. The sin in our lives stops us to be in relationship with God the Father. But God came in the man Jesus to live the life that we could not live, that perfect life, and to die on that cross on our behalf so that we, if we place our trust in him, have this amazing relationship with God the Father. So what I would like to do now, as I end my talk, is ask if there's anyone here today who would like to have Jesus in their life. And to do that, I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, just to bow your heads. And I'm not going to embarrass anyone or ask you to come forward, but I'm going to simply say this, that if this is your first time here and you're hearing the gospel message, and you feel that you are so far from God and you want to connect with God and you want to explore the love of God in Christ Jesus, and you say, well, Ben, today, I want to place my trust in Jesus. I want to start this journey in letting him take care of me and take away my sins so that I can start knowing God more. I want to give my life to him because I am a sinner and I'm so far from God and I need God. If that is you, like if that is you this morning, I want to pray for you. And all I want you to do is just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for, that I can acknowledge you and I could really look after you. So if that is you this morning, you raise your hands right now and I want to pray for you. And I want you to know that this prayer is for, yes, I see your hand. Anyone else here? Yes, I see your hand. Yes. Anyone who says, yeah, I don't know Jesus, but I want that good news. I want to receive Jesus. I want to start this day, this Christmas 2024, saying, I give my life to Jesus because I need a Savior. I need someone to take care of me. You just raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Anyone else? Thank you. That's wonderful. I'm going to ask the second question here. Maybe you do know Jesus, but you've drifted. And you've realized you've drifted. And this day, God has been reminding you that all those interruptions is him reminding you that he loves you. And on this day here, you say, well, Ben, I want to end this year well and I want to reconnect with Jesus. I want to start again. And 2025 is a new chapter. It's a new season. And I'm going to do whatever I can to grow in my intimacy with Jesus. And I want to stop drifting. I want to give my life to him again. If that is you, you raise your hands. Yeah, thank you. Because I want to pray for you. Yeah, thank you. You raise your hand so I can pray for you because I know who I'm praying. Anyone else that you want to recommit and say, yeah, I want to just go again, you raise your hands right now. Thank you. Anyone else? Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to pray for you right now. For those who raise their hand in receiving Jesus for the first time, and those who raise their hand to say, yeah, I'm drifting and I want to reconnect with the Lord. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for reminding us that you came for us, that you came to offer us hope and peace and love and joy. And I pray for those who this morning says that, yeah, they are lost without you, that the sins in their life have really separated them from you. And on this day, they place their trust on Jesus. That Jesus, you came and you lived a life to represent them and you died on the cross and you placed all their sins, their past, their present, and their future sin on your shoulders. And you died and once and for all, you have forgiven them. I pray, God, that as of this day, they're going to start this journey with a new life. Holy Spirit, will you begin to work in their life? Will you begin to fill them? Would they begin to explore your love for them? And I pray for them right now. I also pray for my brothers and sisters who rededicated, who've realized that they've had seasons where they've drifted from you. But on this day, the 25th of December, 2024, they recommit their lives to you. They're going to start again, God. That next year, 2025, is going to be a different year, a year where there's more intimacy and they're going to experience more of you. And I pray, God, that they'll just grow. And Jesus, you be, just continue to the center of their life. Not just only their Savior, but their Master as well. Thank you, God. Thank you for this day. We remember your birth, that you came to interrupt our world because you had a better plan, a plan to restore and redeem broken people. And we're grateful you did that for every one of us here. Bless us. And I also pray, God, for this church here, for all those who have been saved by your grace. May we never, ever take that saving grace for granted. That we live with joy. We live with hope. We live with an obedience that every time there is a disruption, we would learn to trust you. We will learn to let go and know that you have something even better. Oh Lord, thank you so much for reminding us in your word this day. Bless this church. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Can I just say this? For those who gave their life to Jesus, for those who recommitted, don't do this alone. See myself, see one of the volunteers with the lanyard, and we would love to connect with you. We would love to give you some reading materials to help you follow Jesus, because it's an amazing journey, amazing life following the Jesus. Amen. Can we be upstanding as we just sing a song of worship unto our Lord right now in response to the preaching of God's word? Let's worship the Lord right now.